Paul Charchian, Fantasy Football Hall of Famer.
That guy must really know what he's doing.
Director of Guillotine Leagues at FantasyLife.com. Your guide through the waiver wire.
Hurry, step right up and keep following the leader.
Charge. With Charge. Bernstein and Charge. Holmes on 670 The Score.
Football must be here if we are talking to our next guest. Paul Charchian joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. He's on Twitter at Paul Charchian, director of Guillotine Leagues at FantasyLife.com, twitch.tv/Chicago670. The Score. Hello, Charch. What's happening?
Nice to talk to you. It's exciting. We've got a great game coming up tonight. And, you know, Marshall, I remember your name coming up on WIP from time to time. Am I wrong about that?
You are definitely not wrong. I spent 11 years in Philly, and so I was a constant member of the Angelo Cataldi family and show, and doing some of my own stuff. But yes, and we have used you there, and you have guided me to some good decisions.
All right.
And hopefully you can do the same today, because I do have a specific my fantasy, because my fantasy team's more important than everybody else's.
Isn't that the truth? We love that. We love our fantasy teams and nobody else cares about them. But I care about yours, Marshall.
You know what? I love that. So here's one thing I want to start with. I have Tua Tagovailoa. We were just talking about the quality of Thursday night football games. I also have Lamar Jackson. I am going to start Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Am I doing the right thing?
Yeah, you are. And Tua looked great. I loved what we saw from Tua. Well, I mean, maybe great's a hair strong, but this is a trickier, I think, trickier matchup this week for him in particular. Bill's defense, his pass defense has been good for years. It's good now. Rasul Douglas is fantastic. I think the Packers made a bad trade last year when they gave up on Rasul Douglas. So this feels like a much trickier matchup. And if, you know, I've still got starting grades on Tua, but you've got Lamar Jackson, and, you know, every week you're going to be starting him. You might have a tradable asset in Tua. That might be your angle here.
Our segment with Paul Charchian is sponsored by Corner Booth Pizza. Visit your local grocery store to try it today. Charch, before we get into some of the stuff with that game and around the league, would you assess, please, what you now know with one more data point regarding any Bears position players, skill position players, particularly the usage rate for Cole Kmet being surprisingly low?
Yeah, you know, we had heard rumblings that was going to be more of a shared time than we expected. And Gerald Everett ran 21 routes. Cole Kmet ran 11. That was a little bit surprising. And at this point, this is the worst case scenario for fantasy owners, is when your tight end is in a timeshare, you know, and it was already a sketchy tight end position from a fantasy standpoint. So for me, both guys droppable at this point. And yeah, I don't love the look of that. And obviously the whole offense, it was obviously a really disappointing game. The Tennessee secondary better than I think a lot of people thought. But what's your level of optimism that we see a better version of the Bears offense in what is honestly a much harder matchup against Houston?
I wish I could answer that. I wish I could answer that easily, because there are so many new uncertainties going into this week regarding the instability of an offensive line that still seems to be coming together, whether or not Keenan Allen is actually hurt or not. And now with Roma Dunze likely out, and they may have to have a kick returner who isn't even really a wide receiver, possibly getting some snaps there. And what of Velus Jones? The answer, as usual, my honest answer, Charges, I don't know.
Yeah, I hear you. This is it's a tricky matchup. Houston's defense, way underrated. They allowed the fewest passing touchdowns last year. I think people don't realize how many strides they took. Will Anderson won Defensive Player of the Year last year. They added in Danielle Hunter. You guys remember from the Vikings. He is a game-changing defensive end. I don't see things getting a lot better in this matchup. It's going to be tricky. And you know, this just might be more of a work in process than we thought. I honestly thought the Bears offense was going to hit the ground running and that this thing was going to be great right out of the gate starting week one. And now I've tempered my enthusiasm a lot.
Oh, they're running. They were running to the ground last week. That's what happened. Their running game is still very much on a treadmill right now. Kind of local, but not. Jordan Love, he's out.
Yeah.
How much does Malik Willis change that Packers offense?
Oh boy. Well, here we go. Do you guys, either of you know the passer rating you get if you spike the ball on every play?
No, what is that?
No.
39. Would you care to guess Malik Willis's passer rating in his three NFL starts?
I'm going to guess it's lower than 39.
I'm going to guess 42.
39.
Oh, exactly?
Exactly the same as spiking the ball on every play.
That's wild.
So the point being what?
The point being, well, and I will add a little more fuel to the fire here. Now, and great. Okay, so his three starts were 2 years ago. So let's hope Malik Willis has gotten better in 2 years. Here's his completions in those three games. 6, 5, and 14 for 55, 80, and 99 yards. He has never thrown a touchdown. He has three picks. He has been a brutal passer to this point. Although I'll mention this, he is 6 for 6 on passes behind the line of scrimmage. So I think we've found the Malik Willis, like, perfect target area behind the line of scrimmage. Colts are going to put 8 men near the line of scrimmage. They're going to take away the running game. They're going to take away the short passing. They're going to challenge Malik Willis to throw deep, something he's never done at the NFL level, and find out if Malik Willis has got the arm to beat him. And I don't, you know, based on what we saw 2 years ago anyway, I don't think he can. And that means most of my Packers are going to be on the bench this week.
So if you're in a league where you get extra points for behind the line of scrimmage passing, I think that would certainly be the guy for you. In the previous segment, Charge, we played both C.J. Stroud and Caleb Williams referencing overall bad quarterbacking, essentially, mm-hmm. and saying, look, there are veterans out there who just are getting started slowly, and maybe this is a new NFL thing because of the way the preseason works, that mm-hmm. say, hey, there are a lot of inconsistent performances by people who we know are better at the position than they showed. To what extent is Joe Burrow one of those?
Yeah, this Burrow thing is really, really dicey. Have you guys seen the video of Burrow repeatedly flexing his wrist on the sidelines?
Trying to drink a water bottle, right? That was his answer.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, he says that he's a habitual wrist flexor now. He flexes his wrist all the time. He flexes at home. He flexes at the facility. He flexes in the huddle. I'm like, all right. Well, maybe that's the case, but I get a little bit worried if the state of his wrist surgery is such that he's flexing all the time. That worries me. No T. Higgins against Kansas City unless something changes. Jamar Chase still knocking some rust off. And in this matchup, which is obviously still a pretty cool game, Cincinnati versus Kansas City, Kansas City's got that elite cornerback, Trent McDuffie. When they play an opponent that has one good wide receiver, Trent McDuffie just shadows that guy, and he's going to shadow Jamar Chase. And that leaves a dearth of receiving targets for Joe Burrow. And I think we got another bad game coming for him. And I got him in one league. I'm not starting. I think this is a spot to – where we have to at this point see Joe Burrow come back and throw well on that wrist.
Back to Thursday night real quick, because we were just also talking about Thursday night games just aren't good, especially as we get deeper and deeper into the season. Can you put kind of an analysis on just how much you want to stay away from Thursday night matchups if you can as a fantasy owner?
I don't. I'm just, Marshall, I'm still playing the matchups every Thursday night. I'm breaking down the defenses and the individual matchups. And so I don't have just like a blanket, I rest my players on Thursday night. A lot of times they do bury bad games on Thursday night. And so we get some woofers out there. But, there are always opportunities, and I try to find them. The big storyline tonight, for sure, is the Miami running back situation. Raheem Mostert out. Devon Achane looks like he won't go. Well, maybe he'll go. He's a game time decision. We don't know for sure. But here's the problem. Even if Achane decides to go, he's the most fragile running back in the NFL. What a huge risk you're going to be taking if you decide to start him. Now, maybe he's going to be good enough, and maybe he'll even take some of Raheem Mostert's carries, and he'll end up with a good game here against a middle of the pack Buffalo run defense. They're way better against the pass than the run. Or maybe Devon Achane, the most brittle back in the NFL, just re-injures his ankle after like two plays. And so the range of outcomes here is massive. If you've got other safer options, I would take them. Jeff Wilson is probably the safe answer among Miami running backs. And if he's available, you could pick him up and start him tonight.
Charge, what did you see from Sam Darnold, good and bad?
It was almost entirely good, shockingly good. Completed his first 12 passes to open his career as a member of the Vikings. And what I also liked was Vikings' offensive line held up to Dexter Lawrence, Kayvon Thibodeau, and Brian Burns. So even though the Vikings get Nick Bosa and Leonard Floyd this week, you feel pretty good about Sam Darnold being able to get some time in the pocket. He was poised. He was accurate. He made fast reads. It was, if you didn't know it was Sam Darnold, you never would have guessed that was a Sam Darnold game. Now, the Vikings will be without Jordan Addison in all probability, re-injured his ankle. They don't have TJ Hockenson. That part worries me. But here's what we've learned about Kevin O'Connell. They're passing. They don't care. They're going to pass a lot anyway. Niners are an elite run defense. Sam Darnold's going to, just through sheer volume, Sam Darnold remains a startable fantasy asset this week.
Let me draw the focus out a little bit because I'm just curious about some of these things. After one game, we know that those of us who talk about the games outside of fantasy, we can overreact. We can say things and forget we say them and take them back. But a fantasy owner is going to potentially make a move now that can change the season, that can save a season, that can tank a season. So those reactions are different. How do you balance the opportunism of what you learn early with the pitfalls of acting on it?
I'm a big believer in overreacting to week one. I think most week one teams, I think you see a lot of reality in week one that you haven't known about. And so I make a lot of moves in week one. I respond to it. And most people are like, oh, no, patience. It's a small sample size. Not me. I'm out there making deals. And I'll give you an example. I got Gus Edwards on a couple of leagues. Gus looked bad and J.K. Dobbins looked pretty darn good. I'm reacting to that. You know, Gus had just 2.4 yards per carry. He had the league's second worst rushing yards over expectation. I'm punting Gus, even though I was optimistic he was going to be like a goal line guy and a run heavy Chargers offense. Don't care. I believe in what my eyes tell me, and I react to week one, and I encourage fantasy owners to do the same.
Good. I'm glad I asked because I've always been, I imagine that there are people who disagree with you, who say to be more conservative in that regard, but I like 100%. It. You can be that and own it.
This just means I'm going to keep Saquon Barkley. Thank you for cementing that.
You should keep Saquon Barkley. Man, did he look good. He's my number one ranked running back for this week. It's so refreshing to see Saquon Barkley look healthy, run behind a good offensive line. The three touchdowns last week, Saquon looks like he's back.
Where do you have Caleb Williams ranked this week?
Oh, boy.
That means not near the top.
Yeah, I'm sorting right now.
He's definitely in the 20s.
He's past the
he's
first
definitely
page.
22.
He's 22. Yeah, he's in the 20s. Okay. Yeah, it's not great. 22. Yeah, it just, again, Houston's a really good pass defense, and I need to see it at this. And by the way, can we run Caleb Williams a little bit more? I mean, okay, Jaden Daniels, 16 rushes in his first NFL game. I really feel like the Bears missed some opportunities with Caleb's rushing.
He was running for his life.
Man, he's running for his life. How about some designed runs? More designed runs for Caleb Williams. Are you listening to that?
I don't think he wants to.
Yeah, he wants to throw.
I don't think he will. This isn't Justin Fields.
This is the opposite of Justin
Fields.
Yeah,
I don't think he wants to.
You know what? But here's the thing. He's got wheels, and he can do it, and you break defenses in ways that you can't with a pocket passer. I don't know.
Well, you also get broken as a quarterback if you take off running too much.
Well, okay. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. I think the most dangerous place for a passer is the pocket. And yeah, when you're out weaving downfield, sure, things can happen, but you get blindsided in the pocket all the time. Guys do get hurt running around. Lamar Jackson gets dinged up every year, but Josh Allen doesn't. Jalen Hurts doesn't. And maybe, I don't think it's an automatic that quarterbacks get hurt the more they run.
Charge, thank you as always. Much appreciated. We will talk next Thursday.
Yeah, thanks, friends. Bye-bye.
That is Paul Charchian. Always enjoy having him try to make sure our fantasy teams are optimized, and yours specifically.
Definitely mine specifically. I was just concerned that he was he's concerned about the Bears and we're concerned about the Bears. It seems like everyone's on the same page with the Bears and the offense right now.
Hey, big thanks, by the way. I mentioned there's all kinds of food here on the plaza of Lake Street at Prue. And one of the food kiosks is Gale V's Grilled Cheese.
No, it's Gale V's best grilled cheese ever, and it lives up to its name.
Well, the actual Gale V is making the grilled cheese, and she was kind enough to bring some down here. I've never had it before. My goodness.
It's the apple that sets that off the pulled pork.
It's the bread. I mean, it's like everything is great about this. This is just perfect. So thanks, Jared. I know you're a big fan. You want to take a picture with her?
I took a picture with her. I've been down there because it's in Block 37 where I used to work, and I never met Gail V. So I was like, let me get a pic. Like, I love small businesses.
Yeah, and I've got the pulled pork grilled cheese with that apple slaw. My God, is this good. Next up, Pat Tomasulo is going to join us and tell us about his charity event that is coming up. And this show is offering a special opportunity as part of it. We look forward to having the WGN Morning Sportsman on next. Marshall Harris in for Lawrence Holmes. I'm Dan Bernstein on The Score.